he was so, so insistent on defending her character. But I don't find a problem with it. You know, but what? Is it, if she was a harlot, she wouldn't be worthy? You know, that being a merchant of purple would have made her more worthy of God's grace? She believed the Israelites would destroy the great city of Jericho. And so she helped them. And she hid the spies. She believed that God was going to deliver the city into their hands. And that in so doing, she would be spared. They thought their city would stand, but instead it collapsed. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having obtained some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Without us, I mean, the whole number had to be brought in for this. You know, God is calling many sons to righteousness. He made the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. They suffered through things. They believed and they did not receive the promise. And we will suffer through things and we will not receive the promise until we all are brought in and all are made perfect. And the resurrection of the dead, they did not receive the promise. They did not raise from the dead. They are in their graves. They're waiting for the promise. That is the Christian truth. And there's so much falsehood out there that says, no, they're all in heaven. No, they all received all the promises. No, they did not. They died in faith, waiting for the promise. There's such confusion and such false doctrine and unsound practices in the church and speaking things that people want to hear and to tickle their itching ears. Oh, we want to hear. We want to think they're looking down to the portals in heaven, but they are not. They died in faith. They suffered many things. And until the full number be brought in, until the trumpet sound from heaven, and the dead rise, and those who are alive are changed, and the full number be brought in, they cannot be perfected without us. And we cannot be perfected without those that are yet to come. And back verse Gideon. If you don't know Gideon, he was the one who came down. The Lord said he would deliver them by his hand. And he called together a few hundred people, and God kept reducing the numbers by these various arbitrary tests. You know, the man take with you people who only drink a certain way from the stream. You know, and they basically did a psychological warfare where they brought out these lamps and broke them and shouted, and the people panicked and they started killing each other and running, and the armies were driven away. And there's so much more to that story. I mean, Gideon was one of the examples of men who spoke with God and did not die, because they spoke with the angel of the Lord, person of Christ in pre-incarnation, doubtless. And Barak, Deborah and Barak, another, these are from the books of Judges, and we're not going to cover the book of Judges in this series, and I'm not going to cover each of these in detail, but Samson, who, you know, after the defeat, after the seduction of Delilah, the temptation, The foolishness of revealing his secret, his hair was cut and his eyes were put out and his strength was taken from him. But then when his hair had grown back, he had faith to pray and say, God, give me strength that I may destroy these, and in my death, avenge my two eyes. And by faith, he put his hands on the pillars and brought the house down. Jephthah, another one of the judges. Of David and of Samuel. Oh, there's so much that could be said about all that. The prophets. I'm not going to go through every example. Paul isn't going to go through it. Those examples can be read. But in it, you can see it in the reading of faith. And that's the way you should read the Old Testament in light of the new, in a sense of looking for the faith and the promises. It is just numerous examples of how by faith people receive things. How God is pleased when we believe. You know, I often say David was as unrighteous as Saul, but the way God looked at it was different because of his lack of faith. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, clothed the mouths of lions. You know, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They quenched the violence of fire. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, I think, at that time. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. I think of Jephthah, or I believe he was the man, or one of the judges. You know, he was a left-handed man. You know, and then the book of Judges, there are these numerous weak things. I forgot if there are five or four. Some number of weak things. The jawbone, the new jawbone of a donkey, meaning it was still a soft, because you know, bones become hard and brittle and they become good for weaponry after they dry out. But while they're yet wet, they're not as effective. So, you know, the women receiving, you know, in the days of Elijah and Elisha, the women receiving the dead raised to life again and being tortured, not accepting deliverance. We'll let you go. Just renounce the words that you have spoken in the name of the Lord. Just renounce. Just say to everyone right now that God has not spoken to you. Just tell everyone the truth. But they kept it up. To receive a better resurrection. When I rise, I'm going to rise better than I would have risen if I had not accepted this torture for the truth's sake. My resurrection will be better because of this. So they looked for the better resurrection rather than escaping pain at the moment. Not that it's wrong to ask God deliverance, but also when you know it's sure, you submit yourself to it. And it's not an easy thing. But even Christ is our forerunner. He has done this. You know, I think of him in the garden, that agony. And I would be shocked if I didn't experience the same agony going into something like that, if I were to ever experience that, which my flesh revulses against, but my spirit is willing. You know, you feel like, I feel like I want to suffer for Christ because it will be so much better. But on the other hand, I think, gosh, suffering for Christ, wow, that could be really hard. It could be very painful. Am I really, really willing? Am I really, really able? But I trust God that he'll make me able to bear it. That's trusting in his promise. Being mocked and whipped and bonds, imprisonment, oh, all the things. They were stoned, sawn asunder. I think that's